Hare Krishna. Okay, here's an interesting question. This is from Karuna Sindhu Das. And he's asking, in the pastime where Rupa Goswami is in Vrindavan and Vallabhacharya happens by and asks to see what he's writing, and he comments on a verse. I believe it's the verse where liberation is being called a witch. And he says, well, that's a little extreme. Well, I suggest such and such change. And Rupa Goswami says, thank you very much. Makes the change. And Balabhacharya goes on. Meanwhile, Jiva Goswami is a witness to all of this. And unbeknown to Rupa Goswami, he then follows Balabhacharya. And he engages him in a debate and defeats him and explains to him that what Rupa Goswami had written was absolutely correct, and Bhattacharya's correction was absolutely unnecessary. Krishiva Goswami is just very young. Vallabhacharya, when he comes back from the Jamuna, because it's just happening in Radha Damodar temple, so he went down Jamuna and back. He praises Jiva Goswami's erudition and then goes on and apologizes to Rupa Goswami. When Rupa Goswami, when the dust cleared and Jiva Goswami also returned, Rupa Goswami became very angry. And he really sort of banished him. He said, you're just proud. He said, you should go away. I don't want to see you. Okay, so the question is, isn't it the duty of the disciple to protect or to defend, excuse me, to defend the spiritual master? And and of course the answer to that is yes. So if that's the case, then why is it that Rupa Goswami is so upset in this situation? Okay, this is a very interesting issue, because I come across similar situations in my service as a spiritual master. And I'll give some examples. But here the consideration is that there's not just one duty of a disciple, which is to defend the spiritual master. But there's another, more important one, overriding one, which is to do what the spiritual master says. So things were not obviously explicitly stated, or at least we don't have any record of them being explicitly stated. But obviously, Rupa Goswami could have defended himself if he wanted to. He didn't need Jiva Goswami to do that. And I guess if someone just came and told me to change something in what I was writing, my immediate reaction would be to, unless it was very black and white, that I had it wrong, and in this case Goswami didn't have it wrong, then I would just tell him, well, no, I don't really think that you're right. Let's, you know, discuss it. Discuss it. But Rupa Goswami didn't want to do that. That wasn't the message that he wanted to give for devotees for generations to come. He wanted to show humility. He wanted to show subservience to seniors, those who are elder in age, those who are older, those who are brahmana, some sort of recognized brahman. And so his unspoken message was, this is what I want. So when Jiva Goswami went to defend his guru, what he did was that he went against the instruction of his spiritual master, and which in this case took priority over defending him. And that's what Rupa Goswami was upset about, and upset that for future generations the precedent that he wanted to set was now being usurped by a disciple. Okay, I said I was going to give examples, so let me give examples. Here's a sort of a general example that comes to mind. I go somewhere and some sort of situation, place, thing is inconvenient, and I make a comment, that's not really so good. But then, for whatever reason, I add, anyway, it's okay, we'll just leave it at that. It's not the end of the world. And I expect to go on. But there may be some disciple who, like Jiva Goswami, speculates, well, no, let's not listen to what Guru Maharaj says and what he said should happen. Let's actually do what's best for him. And so they do whatever that thing was, or get whatever that thing was, and I get upset. I get upset because the priority and the first thing that a disciple needs to know is how to follow the instructions of the guru, and whatever that instruction may be. Here's another example. This might be more practical. I go into the kitchen, see cook is cooking lunch, and I say, "Ooh, is there any shak today?" And says, "Oh, no, sorry, Guru Maharaj, we don't have shak, but I can go send someone to go out and get some." And, I don't know, it's raining or snowing or something, and I don't think it's really worth the trouble. Besides, I'm not going to die for a lack of shak. And I say, no, it's okay, don't do it. But when I sit down for lunch, there's shak on the table, and I lose my appetite because the first thing that I want to impart to disciples is the importance of following the explicit instruction of the spiritual master. These are two explicit instructions I gave, but I don't take it seriously. They double guess. They think that they know better. Now, there may be a rare circumstance where what the spiritual master says isn't what he wants. However, here's the example of two eternally liberated souls, and still that wasn't the case. In other words, it wasn't what Rupa Goswami wanted, and Jiva Goswami got it wrong. So you really need to know what the spiritual master wants before you actually start going against his explicit instruction. And that is the priority. We should recognize what's what. Yes, it's important to defend the spiritual master, But if the spiritual master doesn't want you to defend him, and his actions at least show that, even though Rupa Goswami didn't explicitly say it, then you're better off not risking going against the instruction of the spiritual master and invoking spiritual master's ire as well. I thought that was a good opportunity to express these things. Hare Krishna.